Pearson International Airport in snowy, windy conditions. All 80 people on board, all wearing seatbelts, got out. 18 were injured. The cause? Under investigation. CBS's Chris Mavridis is in Toronto.
The CJR 900 is a Canadian-made regional workhorse. It's used by a lot of airlines, including Delta and American. In fact, it's the slightly longer version of the CJR 700 that crashed in Washington, D.C. last month. But authorities are being very clear this is just an unfortunate coincidence. And even though it's early, they don't believe there is any connection between the two crashes.
Brutally cold weather is settling in from the Plains states to the south central U.S. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Extreme cold warnings now stretch from the Canadian border in North Dakota all the way down to central Texas. There's 30 million people under extreme cold warnings.
Feels like 50 below in parts of Montana and North Dakota. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's begun meetings with top Russian officials in Saudi Arabia to try to reset relations between the two countries and end the war in Ukraine, which has not been invited to participate. The BBC's Tom Bateman is in Riyadh.
What Moscow is trying to do here is show to its own audience that this is the beginning of the end of Moscow's isolation, which of course was led by Washington, has seen the West slap sanctions for 3 years on Russia after its full-scale invasion of Ukraine.
Protests in the nation's capital over cuts by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Steyer heads the Partnership for Public Service.
You're talking about not just the FAA and the IRS, but I know of at least one specific example of a VA doctor who's been fired, nurses at the VA. I mean, it's across the board.
Southwest Airlines is cutting costs, slashing 15% of its corporate workforce. They are the first major layoffs in the company's 53-year history. Local schools are closed. SEPTA commuter train service suspended after a massive fire broke out at a warehouse in Abington, Pennsylvania that supplies aerospace fasteners and fittings. KYW's Tim Jimenez is at the scene.
You see this thick white smoke pouring out. This is a massive complex, 560,000 square feet. Witnesses reported seeing this big explosion in the building, and then flames started to spread.
Officials say everyone inside the complex has been accounted for. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's a little colder than yesterday, but a relative warm-up is coming. A cold weather advisory remains in effect with wind chills as low as 29 below. People planning on being outside for a longer time are still being told to wear protective clothing to prevent frostbite. That can set in as little as 10 minutes. Warming centers are still running in Racine and Kenosha. We'll get to a high of 14 tomorrow and maybe 40s by Sunday. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. Altogether, voters in Kenosha are being asked for an extra $115 million. The spring primary election day today has a sparse ballot for most, but an important question in Kenosha. The school district is looking for approval on an operational referendum asking to raise spending by $23 million a year. District taxpayers would be looking at paying an extra $300 a year on a $250,000 home. Racine Unified voters will see a referendum on the April ballot. There is a statewide race and other items to vote on today. To see your ballot and where you can vote, check out myvote.wi.gov. It's now more affordable to play at the YMCA. You can read more about the new Racine Family YMCA program available starting today at racinecountyi.com. The new effort is called the Membership for All program. It's designed to help those who are low income overcome financial obstacles to membership. The story on the I has some insightful stats about the health of people in Racine County, plus details about how to join that new program. Read all about it at RacineCountyI.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl's Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor, but obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. Coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one and I can smell it, he smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 0, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Current temperature, 7 below.
If the defendant does not take the stand in his defense, the judge has to instruct the jury. Something to this effect: you might notice in this trial the defendant chose not to take the stand in his defense. You are not allowed to weigh that one way or the other while considering the rest of the evidence. And I understand the need for the instructions. I think they should just tweak them a tad. I think the judge should say, you might notice in this trial the defendant chose not to take the stand in his defense. We just want you to know that means... You can start validating parking. I can't even imagine not taking the stand in my defense if I was innocent of something. You imagine your lawyer asking you, do you want to go tell him you didn't do it? I'm awfully bashful. Yeah, I know, but they're thinking of throwing you in the electric chair, so maybe if you could muscle through your discomfort. I'll take my chances. Fire up the chair, Your Honor. I heard some states carry out capital punishment at 7 o'clock in the morning. Talk about cruel. Is that guy supposed to get some sleep the night before? Yeah, I think I'm going to hit the rack. Get some shut-eye. Yeah, got a short day tomorrow.
It's 7:07 at WRJN, local news, timeless hits, and we have two guests in here today, two lovely people in here. We have Joanna Jackson from the Racine Public Library, and we have Judy Collins, not the singer Judy Collins, and Judy, you're going to have to move real close to that microphone there. We have Judy Collins, you're a genealogist and historian about Racine. You know everything about Racine, or close to it, as much as you could possibly know.
Well, let's not stretch it too much.
Okay. Yeah. You know something about Racine.
I know a little something.
Yeah, everybody knows a little something. You know a little bit more than most people. Before we get to Judy, though, I want to talk to Joanna, and you are in charge of adult services.
That's right.
At the Racine. Ooh, you're perky this morning. Nice and happy. And look at that. Yeah, you're...
Good morning.
Good morning. Joanna's in charge of adult services at the Racine Public Library. Adult services, what is that?
Absolutely. So the library has a lot of different services that are available, but we also have services that encompass different age groups. So we do have the youth services department, and then I'm from the adult services department. And we offer a lot of different services, including when you go to the library, typically you probably think, I'm here for books. And so we do have those. We've got fiction, nonfiction, a whole bunch of those, but we also have different programs. For instance, a couple of the programs that I run one called Craft and Chat, and that's where we make different crafts every month. We've also got, if you've ever heard of tabletop games, there's something that's really popular right now. Obviously, they've been around for some time, but if you've ever heard of Dungeons and Dragons or...
I've never played that.
Really?
No, I just...
You know, it was actually...
I played Monopoly.
It was actually created here in Wisconsin. And with Dungeons & Dragons, it's a really fun game where you're role-playing and you create a character and then you go on an adventure. And so we have a program at the library that happens on Wednesdays. I actually think we have one happening tomorrow. And you basically get to create a character and go on an adventure with a bunch of different people that are excited to tell a story together.
That's my life. What do you mean a game?
Well, then maybe we should see you there.
Man, I think my wife and I, the only board games we play a lot of backgammon.
Okay.
Backgammon. We play card games. We play Uno. You ever hear of Uno?
I love a good game of Uno.
Yeah, Uno we play. There's a couple of the card games, but we like backgammon. Because you can lay in bed and play it. It's a little board. Then you can play, you know, and it's good. And you can beat somebody. And, you know, after the game's over, saying, you're a loser. You know, things like that. You know,
bragging you rights, don't know of course. Anything.
And that's what she says to me every time I lose. Okay, so you have board games. You mm-hmm. have...
We also have technology services.
Oh,
so,
brother. Forget it.
I'm out. Well, see, and that's perfect because that's what we're here to help with. So... technology services are a great tool if you're not comfortable with technology. So if you're having trouble with your phone, if you're having trouble with your computer, we have a team at the library that works in what we house them in our innovation lab, which is a really cool space. There's a lot of different amenities in there. They do robotics. They teach classes on basic computer use, basic phone use. They also have this really cool thing called a 3D printer that makes...
You know, I've heard about that for quite a few years now. I still can't get the concept that you can make something on a printer, like a 3D object that you can hold.
Yes.
Right. You probably could if you made it in small parts.
They're doing it now.
Oh, they're making a house out of a 3D printer? Oh, my goodness. I can't wrap my head around that stuff.
It's something that I feel once you see it, it's like, oh, and that's pretty darn cool. And
you know, well, let me tell you something. When we got rid of our landline phone, and it's true, I didn't want to get rid of it. And my wife said, in 6 weeks, if you are still so, you know, you can't get rid of this and your heart's palpitating over getting rid of the landline, if you really can't deal with this, I'll keep it. I'll get it back in again. But, you know, I was able to do it. But I just didn't want to get rid of my landline. Now, the phone is still there on the wall. It doesn't work, but it's still there. It's like these little things here. I'm not going to, people can't see them. These are what we used to run commercials on back in the 1960s.
Oh, wow.
It's still here. I put it back in the studio, these little carts, because it just gives me a little feeling to the past, which we're going to talk about with Judy in just a moment. They're going back in the past. You know, I always use technology. If you look at the way we're broadcasting now, when I first got into radio a lot of years ago, this was unheard of. We played records, vinyl records. I know, you know what those are, right?
Yes. Okay. We have those at the library, too.
Okay. I mean, technology, just look at what I'm doing here. I mean, this is unbelievable compared to what it used to be like. So, yeah, I go with the flow in small doses. I have to get the battery replaced in my cell phone. And the guy ordered me the battery, and I got to go do it. And I'm nervous about it because what if the phone doesn't work right after he puts the battery the battery in? What am I going to do? I remember when I got my cell phone, the smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
I had a, you know, regular flip phone. And I said, I'm never going to use anything on this phone other than to make calls. Well, my entire life is my phone now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do my homework, not my homework, my station work on there. I do everything on my cell phone. But who would have thought of it?
Right.
You should have been with my mother. My mother at age 92 was still on Twitter. She was on Facebook. She had to get the latest phone. She got the latest iPad. She had to have everything at 92. And she used to sit there all day long. And that's what she did. And one day she switched it to a foreign language by accident, hit a wrong button. And she said, can you fix it? I don't speak whatever language it's on. What language you switched it to? So I had to go looking up on Google on my phone. Okay, this word, what language is it? Once I found the language, I was able to do it. But yeah, you know.
Yeah.
People like me are a little nervous about technology.
And that makes sense. And I think sometimes that can also come from being nervous about what you don't understand. And there's just so much of it. Technology is so vast. But the really nice thing about the library is that you're going to have someone there who's willing to sit down with you and work through that process.
You have enough patience for me?
I bet I do.
No, I bet you don't.
I bet she does.
I'll tell you why, you know, because right now I'm learning how to play the piano.
Ooh.
My wife is teaching me piano. And borderline, this might be a reason for divorce. Playing Lord, they're teaching me the piano. If anybody's going to push us over the limit, teaching me the piano might do it. Because I don't take criticism well when I'm playing. So you do, well, you're playing the quarter notes wrong with the eighth notes, and you got to do this with your right hand and your left hand. I say, please sit down when I really need her help. And after she gets done helping me, then I say, you know, I'm glad you helped me. Thank you very much. But I get very frustrated. Because you're trying to do something with your right hand, your left hand, you're trying to get them coordinated. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to coordinate two hands on it. Do you play piano at all?
I play very rudimentary piano, but yes. And yeah. It's definitely a challenge.
People think, oh, they see piano players play with two hands. It is tricky. I could do one hand or the other hand.
But getting together,
both in sync is very difficult.
Yes, it's very difficult. In terms of like with piano, sometimes you're doing different, rhythms in different hands, and they're coordinating with each other. Sometimes you have to cross over your hands. It's very complicated.
And then you got the black notes, which are the sharps and the flats.
That's right.
Oh. I got the white keys all set. I got to go to the sharps and the flats. What are you talking about? I do play a few songs.
I was going
to
ask, what do you play?
I play from Oliver. I can play What is Love from Oliver.
Ooh.
I could play a couple of basic baby songs, but she taught me last year, and I took off for the holiday season, so I had to start all over again. But I asked the guy at our church who plays piano. I said, "How long did it take you to play both hands, you know, together?" He said, "Well, I really do very rudimentary stuff with my right hand, my left hand rather. I keep it very simple. It's not easy to play with both hands, so I keep the chords very, very simple.
Absolutely, like a bass line almost.
Yeah.
Your left's just
so you don't have to pay attention to what you're doing." We're talking to Joanna Jackson, in charge of adult services. We'll talk to Judy Collins in just a moment. She is a genealogist, and you know a lot about the history of Racine. Not everything we said. But you know what?
Not everything, just a little bit.
Just enough to make it interesting for us.
I'm still a baby.
Okay. All right, more coming up. But first, we got Pete Schwabe right here at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The British Oscars, also known as the BAFTAs, which stands for British Academy of TV and Film Awards, aired Sunday night, and the show's award winners will only keep people guessing who will take home Oscars as we get closer to the Academy Awards. Conclave took home Best Picture, which surprised critics as it hadn't really won much on other award shows. Variety reports that Conclave beat out The Brutalist and Anora, which had recently been gaining momentum after winning the Critics' Choice Awards, Directors Guild, and Producers Guild Awards. Members of the Hollywood Press say this will give Conclave momentum heading up to the Oscars on March 2nd, as there is quite a bit of crossover between BAFTA and Oscar voters. Taking home the Best Actor at the BAFTAs was Adrian Brody for his performance in The Brutalist, Mikey Madison won Best Actress for Anora, and in the Best Supporting categories, it was Zoe Saldana winning for her performance in Amelia Perez, and Kieran Culkin surprising people by winning for his performance in A Real Pain. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's nothing quite like the rich aroma of slow-cooked brisket or the sweet scent of a homemade pie fresh from the oven. At Mrs. Rivers Bakery and Smokehouse, every cut of meat is smoked low and slow to perfection. Every pie is made from scratch with cherries straight from Door County. From fluffy pancakes at breakfast to a warm, hearty soup with lunch, flavor and love can be found in every bite and served all day. Mrs. Rivers Bakery and Smokehouse, open Tuesday through Sunday, 7 to 2 on Durand Avenue in Sturtevant, one block west of School Days Mall. Stop on by.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique Spring Shopping Spree. Thursday, March 20th, noon till 4. Shop for spring or Easter. Be one of the first 10 non-resident shoppers and get a $25 pick and save gift card. Take a tour of the newly renovated one and two bedroom apartments and be entered in a drawing for a $100 pick and save gift card. Sign a 15-month lease and get 1 month free rent. Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant.
Hi, this is Mike at your CBD store in Racine. We are sharing the love, no strings attached. Just schedule an appointment to receive a free $200 wellness kit February 27th through March 2nd. It's our way of saying thanks for prioritizing your wellness journey. Appointments are filling up fast, so call your CBD store on the corner of Highway 31 and Spring Street in Racine, or visit us on Facebook. If you stop in and schedule your appointment, you will receive a 7-day clinically proven sleep gummy.
That's 1 week free on me.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips.
I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
For 98 years, WRJN has been your home for local news. And we still deliver the news twice each hour and on demand at WRJN.com. You'll find the biggest local and state stories when you log on to the website or access WRJN via the Civic Media app. On the air or on demand, WRJN is Racine's source for news. WRJN.
720 local news. Tamla's hit to WRJN. My guests are Joanna Jackson, in charge of adult services at the Racine Public Library. And Judy Collins is here, specialist in genealogy. Welcome, Judy. Not the singer, Judy Collins. We got to tell you that. This isn't the Both Sides Now singer.
No, that's one of my favorite songs about Judy.
Both Sides Now?
Yeah. And she's a little older than I am.
Well, She was a hit singer in the 60s, so yeah.
I'm a little behind her, not that far. A little bit behind her.
But Joanna, you never heard of Judy. Have you ever heard of her songs?
And okay. I do know Both Sides Now.
Okay.
Send
there
in
go.
The Clowns.
Send in the Clowns. Yeah, from A Little Night Music, the Broadway musical. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Okay, so you're my mother was big on genealogy. Are you big on personal genealogy? You know, so like yours and everybody else's? Do you do genealogy studies for people? Do you go back for them?
So I want to go back further than that. Being an original individual from Racine, I have always had a love for history.
Yeah.
And that comes from having great teachers in the RUSD system, Gull Racine Unified School District. So I was fortunate to be exposed to all sorts of history at home and in the classroom. So that's really the beginning of a love for family and a love for history. So then we're going to progress and go a little forward. As an adult, I began to become very curious about my own family's background. Because the information was limited, I began to do research in the late 1990s. And then I became obsessed with the combination of genealogy and history. And then it morphed into teaching the area of African-American genealogy and strategies, which can be challenging because of the historical context of researching African Americans' background and their history. And then it morphed into doing presentations, public speaking, and so I'm now here doing a special project with the Racine Public Library as a volunteer for Black History Month.
Good. That's great. Now, how are you going back in Black History Month? You're going back in the history of it? In Racine?
So what I'm doing, it is a program on the 22nd of this month, which is on Saturday, from 12 to 3 at the Racine Public Library at 75 7th Street. So what is going to be a massive and very interesting program of the history of Racine in terms of the African-American community. And for those of you who may be familiar, in terms of the history of, a black folk in this city, there were three predominant areas in which black folks could live. And that was what we call the Valley, which is the Herrick Avenue area, which is then morphed into South Lafayette, and now it's known as Memorial Drive, South Memorial Drive. And then there was the North Side, and then there was the South Side. The North Side and the South Side both had trailer camps back in the mid-1940s. So there was this progression of people of color, black folk, moving to Racine for employment. So they're leaving Jim Crow of the South, they're moving to the North for work, and then what happens? You have to find some place to live. However, if there's limitations in doing so, you tend to migrate and to assimilate and live in particular neighborhoods where you feel comfortable and where you can actually rent. Probably couldn't buy very often in that time frame in this city, but you could rent and you would board with family members and friends. So that's sort of what the program. The program is going to focus on the actual richness of the African-American community back in the day, because many of us, I won't say my age because I'm young at heart, we remember the songs, we remember the restaurants, we remember the clubs, going to the club. Mm-hmm. We remember the church and the closeness of the community and how it was very close-knit and a loving community. So I thought it would be a good idea to bring back those memories and not just talk about it and to recreate the atmosphere.
Well, that's good. This Saturday.
This Saturday, folk.
And the time is...
So it's late. You'll be up by then.
What time?
12 noon.
Oh, no. Won't be up.
Till 3 p.m. Till 3 o'clock. And because it's the Racine Public Library, which I have always adored my libraries, thank you very much, Mr. Carnegie, it's free.
Dale Carnegie?
Oh, before Dale. You're talking about Dale the...
So which Carnegie was it?
Okay, this is the... infamous Mr. Carnegie, who was the Baron of Moneys,
helped.
Right.
The Carnegie Hall guy?
Right, the Carnegie Hall guy. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds interesting. I love history. My brother and I just love talking history. There are a lot of Facebook pages that go back in Racine history.
Oh, they're.
And I'm not from here, but just to see the pictures of Main Street as a dirt road. I mean, it's hard to believe. You see it today, and you don't know what you can't believe it.
Racine has always had a rich historical context of its buildings. I'm really into actually residential genealogy. Mm-hmm. So I study buildings and owners and architects and who built it and why was it built and if it's still standing. And unfortunately, many of the buildings have been demolished
for parking lots.
For businesses that no longer exist. But there is a movement here to preserve the history of this city, which is really, really interesting.
Hold it there. Joanna Jackson is here, Adult Services at the Racine Public Library. Judy Collins, who loves history. She doesn't know all of it, but she loves history and knows a lot of it. Am I right? Is that the best way to say it?
Yeah, that's safe.
Okay.
I like being safe.
More coming up in just a moment, but first we've got Paul Harvey and the rest of the story.
The rest of the story. Mr. Tuckett is a retired insurance agent. Ralph Tuckett, 67, lives in Fresno, California. But he has become the king of the snails. You see, he was vacationing in Hawaii when he saw something on the menu called escargot. Escargot, he was told, is a delicacy, a snail bathed in garlic and butter and roasted. A snail, thought Ralph, you eat snails? But the waiter talked him into it, and they were not bad. There were six of them, he remembers, on the plate, a half dozen of those shriveled up little nothings. And then Ralph remembered that back home in Fresno, in his own garden, he had snails, thousands of them. And not these tiny ones, such as these that he was eating, but big fat ones. And that brings us to the rest of the story. Ralph Tucker's Hawaiian vacation was 2 years ago. Today, he is president of the SCA, the Snail Club of America, an organization which he founded. There are 800 members, some of whom are now raising backyard herds of 50,000 or more snails. And that means Mr. Tucker, once retired, is back in business as king of the snails. And this new snail enterprise is anything but sluggish. American restaurants, once almost exclusively dependent on the foreign snail market, are gradually counting on Ralph and Company. What's it like at a snail roundup? Well, what Ralph does is sprinkle bran flakes at the perimeter of his garden. Snails love bran flakes. Takes most of them about a day to reach their favorite food, at which point Ralph gathers them up. Snails are corralled by a wooden fence which is ringed with a copper band, and when the snail's antenna touches the copper, they receive a slight static electricity shock which turns them back. After the roundup, Ralph puts the herd on a water diet for 3 days to flush the grit from their systems, and then he shells them and parboils them and packs them in ice and ships them. The herd has no trouble replenishing itself after each harvest. Snails are very affectionate. Snails are also escape artists, and for this reason, live shipment is done, but no longer preferred. Once a half ton of them ate through their shipping crates and then started eating the truck that was transporting them. Another time, a live snail got loose in a restaurant kitchen and remained undetected until it was seen riding through the dining room on top of a cheesecake on the dessert cart. So, for Ralph Tucker, there is no business like snail business. And it's starting to look like the United States domestic market might someday wipe out the foreign snail trade. The irony being that the snail, which destroys $30 million in California crops per year, is now a full-fledged California crop itself. And Mr. Tucker owes his success to a Hawaiian vacation 2 years ago, during which time he was talked into trying escargot. Was it the way they tasted? No, the taste was entirely forgettable. The price on the menu was not. Right then and there at that restaurant table, as he recalled the multitude of escargot in his own backyard, Mr. Tucker did some calculating, and his calculations have since proved correct. Ralph Tucker could easily afford to wholesale snails for 20 cents each. And yet for those six scrawny ones in that restaurant, he had paid $12.50. So he went into the business. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we've got another rest of the story with Dan Marcus coming up this afternoon, 12:05 on WRJN. Delano, your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours at 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. At 7:31, let's check news, see what's happening locally this morning. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It'll be below zero when you fill out that ballot. Today's spring primary election comes on a cold one with polls open until 8 tonight. Everyone's ballot looks a little different depending on where you live. Kenosha voters have a big school spending referendum on the ballot, plus a primary for school board positions. Racine Unified voters will have a referendum question on their April ballot. Statewide, there's a primary for the state superintendent of public instruction. To see your ballot and where you can vote, check out myvote.wi.gov. On the bright side, it might be near 40 on Sunday. Although today is a little chillier than yesterday, a relative warm-up is coming. The cold weather advisory is still active with wind chills hitting as low as 29 below. Warming centers in Racine and Kenosha remain open. You can call 211 to find the nearest near you. By Sundays, temperatures could almost pop into the 40s. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. Gentlemen, they were not. A fight in the parking lot at On the Border Gentlemen's Club in Franklin has resulted in criminal charges against five staff members, including a manager. The fight at the end of last month started over a payment for a dance. It escalated when staff members allegedly became physical. Two customers were hospitalized. The staff members are facing battery charges. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Agriculture education was in the spotlight yesterday at the state capitol. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a frigid Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now, bear in mind, today we've got a state primary, three candidates on the ballot that would like to be our state superintendent of public instruction. Agriculture educators from across the state were at the state capitol yesterday, focused in on $60 million in the biennial state budget for career and technical education programs at public schools. Current state superintendent Jill Underley says that Wisconsin is one of six states that right now does not have ongoing funding dedicated to career and technical education programs. She wants to see that change.
Yeah, one of the other pieces is to pay for the advisor in our schools. So pay their stipend so that they can, you know,
enjoy additional monetary benefit for their time to recruit students into the organization to pay for, you know, their activities. So, because, you know, when you're an FFA advisor, I mean, you're not in your school all the time. You're traveling, you're driving kids to events, you're going to state convention, you're going to legislative meetings like we are at today. It's a lot of time that these adults give up because they love kids, they love working with kids, and so we want to support them however we can.
Current State Superintendent Jill Underley, the $60 million they're requesting in the biennial state budget would not only assist in helping FFA advisors, it would also fund each of the state's six career and technical student organizations. Markets and overnight electronic trade, not much green on the screen. Numbers are next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to two more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show. This morning in Chicago, the December new crop corn's basically unchanged at 473. November beans are down a nickel at 1047. July wheat down six right now at 619 a bushel as they get back into action after the three-day weekend. And that's a quick snapshot on the markets for a Tuesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 0, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Current temperature, 7 below.
Last summer, I was in Las Vegas. It was 114 degrees. 114 degrees. You can actually hear the sun at that point. Didn't feel safe. I was like, are we supposed to be here? 114. Like, you're never at a friend's house. You're warm in here.
Yeah, I set the thermostat to 114. That's how I like it. I'm part lizard.
Thermostats don't even go up that high. Meat thermometers do. It was 114 degrees, which was shocking. But not as shocking as how casually Las Vegas residents just went about their day in that heat. It was like, you're like, let's play frisbee. Time to walk the dog. I was like, get inside! The earth is on fire! Get inside and beg for God's forgiveness. You've obviously angered him. That's why Vegas is called Sin City. It's the same temperature as hell.
Having a nice discussion here while the microphones were off. I want to talk about some of this now. My guests are Joanna Jackson, in charge of adult services at the Racine Public Library. Judy Collins is here, a specialist in genealogy. We were talking off the air about DNA and how they can really, they could take you back to the pilgrims coming to this country if they wanted to. Based on DNA, they could tell you everything about your family, things you might want to know and things you might not want to know. And you say that it's very dangerous when you start dealing with DNA. Move closer to the microphone. I want to hear what you have to say. You said it's kind of dangerous when you start dealing with DNA and giving it up freely because on these public sites, anybody can get your DNA information because it's public. Yeah?
Yes, I think when you begin to, when the public begins to have the interest of locating their origins and their background, I just always say that be mindful of who wants the information besides you? And where are you pulling the information from? And who is going to have ownership of the information that you are providing? So when you see those little green leaves flickering and floating around, I'm just going to say green leaves, and most of you know what that means. Keep in mind why.
Is that Ancestry.com?
I didn't say that. I just said green leaves.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I tried to figure it out. All right. Because I'm not that bright. And if I can figure it out, everybody can figure it out.
So make sure you read the little fine print. Mm. Make sure you do some research when you go on these public sites. Make sure you understand that once you make a commitment, that commitment is infinity. They own your information, including the data, the collections of the information, your photographs. All that becomes ownership to the individual companies that allow you to have this magnificent service for $24.99 a month, whatever you're paying.
Well, and it says right on these public sites, police may use this information. It says it right on there as a disclaimer because it's public. Anybody can use it.
But no one's paying attention to that.
Yeah.
They're more interested in finding, how can I find
my great-great-grandfather.
I want to find my great-great-grandmother was. I want to know where do they live, what did they do, and then that's going to make it easier for me to understand who I am. And then, of course, to pass it on to your family, to your children and your grandchildren. So the average person is not concerned about the deep thought process of, you know, this might put me in the spot at some time, or it might put my descendants on the spot. So I like clarity in life. I don't complication.
And people may say, well, I'm not a murderer. It doesn't mean somebody else in your family didn't do something down the line, and they used your DNA to find them. It's a whole big... I saw this special on Paragon. Was it Paradon? Paradon. Paradon, I think it's called. They're out in California, and they do a lot of legwork. You have to go to libraries to look up stuff. You've got to go to public records. It's not just going online. You've got to do some legwork. But you can find out everything about your family by just one person having their DNA in those public sites.
But the flip side of that is you can also, you just mentioned the libraries, and there's the archives, there's the county courthouses. I mean, documentation in terms of what I call primary source records and secondary are really essential to really finding what I say gets to the core of what research is when you actually are able to know the steps, know the process to locate your life. It also means that once you do that, you come away a very different person. At least that's been my experience and those folks that I have worked with over the years. So it has its benefits.
Now, you say there's things you might not want to know, and you have clients, you know, you want to do your genealogy study? Maybe you don't want to know you're related to Al Capone or something. I think one of the best ways is, and I did this a lot, I talked to my grandparents before they passed away, because they're a wealth of information, and they could take me back to the beginning of 1900. Because my grandfather was born in the year 1900. And I found out, as when he was a driver of a hearse for years in New York City, he buried Three Fingers Brown. Now, that name you might not know, but he was the head of Lucchese crime family, Tommy Lucchese. And I said, you had Tommy Lucchese's body in the back of your hearse? He goes, yep, for the funeral. Thousands of mourners in front of the funeral home for the head of the Lucchese crime family. And my grandfather drove Three Fingers Brown Tommy Lucchese. And wow. I said, whoa, that was in 1967. I said, whoa, that's big news.
It was about 67.
Wow. Yeah, 67, Tommy Lucchese he died a natural death. He didn't die a gangster death. But he was the head of the Lucchese crime family, one of the big crime families in New York. Wow, isn't that interesting?
And lately I've been thinking in my quiet time, which is not a lot, but I've been thinking, you know what starts to happen is that regular people are the ones who really make and create history.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just these folks that are put on the spot in the limelight. It's regular people in their regular lives and their families and their children who actually create not just American history, but history on the globe. And then when you factor that and you put it all together, you realize that is what creates this magnificent arena of history, which continues to try to teach us that it just keeps repeating itself. It's not very different. Nothing really new happens. I always say it's just a new act being played with an old hand.
History repeats itself. There's a lot of truth in that.
Repeats itself.
So pay attention to it, because sometimes you don't want it to repeat itself. Now, my wife and I were driving around Racine, this is years ago, and we came across the artwork on the side of buildings, the ads, the painted ads on the bricks of the side of buildings. And we started noticing them all. And downtown Racine, on one of the buildings, they recreated it. It's right there downtown on the side of the building where the White Tower restaurant is. They recreated the Pabst ad. They traced it, and wow, they did the ad and fresh paint. And it looks great. So if you go around town, you'll see on the side of buildings, most of them are faded, but you can see the old ads from years and years and years ago still there on the side of the buildings. They should recreate them. That would be nice, just to trace them.
I think I just saw that, too. I just read that about the White Tower restaurant. And then there's a few what we used to call Uptown, which was Washington Avenue that looped around by the other famous Uptown Library, which is no longer in service. And then across the street, there was the A&P across the street. And then if you went down Washington Avenue, Uptown, there was Dole's Drugstore, Kay's Dress Shop, the Dime Store, Johnson's Music, Dr. Savin, optometrist, Johnson's Music Store, Old Timers Liquor, that whole stretch. And then you got to Junction Avenue. So right before you got to, is it 14th Street or 16th Street? Then you went straight down. There was one of the original Pabst Taverns. Is that still?
Oh, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Oh, yeah.
I never had a beer in my entire life.
No cerveza?
Never had a beer. Oh. I'm drunk. Never had one in my life.
Okay, well.
So when you get to tavern territory, I'm the wrong guy to speak to.
But Racine had historically, it was an industrial town.
Oh, yes, you had a lot of bars.
So you had a lot of bars that when you got off first, second, third shift, and they were open in the morning, which used to amaze me. And they still are, I imagine, for those who are still working first, second, and third shifts. You just go to the local tavern and get you a Slitz or get you a Pabst and, you know, and drink and get a sandwich, and then you go home, you go to bed. So
Hopefully it's a Friday night where you don't have to get up the next morning.
Oh, no, it could be a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It doesn't make any difference.
I have bars right down the block. I have three of them right within walking distance of my house. I live on Main Street. And there are three of them within walking distance. I see the wheels are turning in your head while I'm talking to you. I'll tell you off the air what they are. The three of them. They can walk to all three of them. One of them actually has a bowling alley inside, a two-lane bowling alley. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I am, because I just found that out recently that there is a bowling alley in that location.
Yep. Mm. It's right there on the corner of High and North Main. I forget the name of the bar.
It's further out, right, that one.
That one, yeah. It's got a bowling alley, two-lane bowling alley
right,
in there.
Right. A small one, but it's there.
Yeah,
right.
It's a real alley. Yeah, it's not automatic pin setters. I think they have to have people set the pins for you. Yeah.
But I invite everyone in the audience to, you know, just slow down for a minute and review your local history. I mean, go on a historical tour. Read about some of the old homes. Read about the connections between the industrialists, the business persons, and then some of the lovely homes that were built with their money. And there's always connections. And every town in this country has the same sort of structure. Beautiful homes. You're on Main Street. I mean, that used to be the beginning of the homes being built in as early as the 1860s, 1870s, with Jerome and Crease Case, and then you've got the Walker family. I mean, the base of this country, I always say, is very, very interesting. In the base, I mean by the base foundation of our history. And it just connects us to where we are and who we are, so which means, if you have the moment and the time on Saturday, you might want to come.
Get that in again.
I got to get that in again, because I really feel that from the depths of my heart, that people do long for yesterday, and they want to sometimes create it. And many times they aren't given the opportunity to be with folk who understand the need to do that and to introduce it to young people who need to be made aware that life just didn't exist and become important with the cell phone and Instagram and Twitter and all the others, that there was life before, and that if it weren't for the sweat and effort of those, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and how they all came to be, that you lose something and you're not able to continue through, I always say sometimes, the storms that life can greet you with as you age, as you grow older. So I take it, I take it seriously.
We're talking to Joanna Jackson, Adult Services at the Racine Public Library. We're going to talk about taxes.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's coming up. It's going to rear its ugly head real soon. From the Racine Public Library, Judy Collins, who's a specialist in genealogy and history of Racine. More coming up for you. Local news, timeless hit to WRJN. Today's sunshine. I don't think the sun is working today. Highs near 9, partly cloudy tonight, lows minus 1. Cloudy with a high near 14. Tomorrow it's sunny, minus 6, right here at Radio Park.
The Senior Companion Program brings seniors and volunteers together for all the best reasons.
My name is Julia Brinkerhoff, and I live at Elizabeth Gardens in Racine.
My name is Lori Radowin, and I'm a volunteer for the Senior Companion Program.
I met her at Walker Manufacturing years ago. I believe this was her first job.
And as a volunteer, the time commitment really isn't that much.
She comes once a week, and we play Scrabble.
Oh, the highlights of my week are listening to Julia's 99 years of experience on this earth. Oh, it's well worthwhile. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's up to you if you'd like to add more than 1 hour a week.
To become a Senior Companion volunteer, call 262-898-1941.
Seeking the tastiest pizza in Racine? Well, then head straight to Ferraro's, where pizza has been their passion for over 50 years. From classic cheese, pepperoni, and sausage pizzas to golden fried chicken to signature hot sandwiches, Ferraro's has all your cravings covered. Plus, don't miss February's special chili dog pizza, a savory chili base topped with melty cheddar cheese, juicy hot dog pieces, fresh onion, and a drizzle of liquid cheddar. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snow. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrjn.com/contest-terms.
Boy, having a good time this morning. We've got Judy Collins, a specialist in genealogy here. Dishing the dirt, too, during the break here. And we have Joanna Jackson, Adult Services to the Library. Tax time, it's coming up, and, you know, it's not going away. Can't hide your head in the hole. Tax time is coming up April 15th. The only people who have until October to do your taxes, if you were involved in the fires out in California, because these people lost everything, their records, tax records. They can give them an extra 6 months to figure it out. And so, but for the rest of us, it's April 15th.
That's right.
So what are we doing at the library to help people stay out of prison?
Absolutely.
That's how they got Al Capone. They didn't get him on murder. They got him on tax evasion.
Yeah, please don't evade your taxes. Don't do that. And we can help you with that at the library. We have tax forms available for free. So if you are looking for your federal or your state tax forms, we have those basic forms available as well as homestead. We also are we are very fortunate to house United Way's VITA program, which offers free tax assistance for filing. So we don't set those appointments ourselves. You'll either have to visit their website or give them a call, and they will set up an appointment for you. We do appointments at the library with VITA on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They'll set up all that with you, so we don't handle the appointment setting, but they'll help you get all set for that, and it's a great service. The VITA team is awesome. And then, you know, if you're in the library, you might as well take a little browse, see some of the other things we've got going on, like the Innovation Lab, like I mentioned earlier, or check out a book. We can always help you get a library card if you're interested in getting a library card. All you're going to need is an ID with your most recent address. If you don't have that recent address on there, we can also take something else, like an official document that's going to confirm that. And then you're with a library card, they're free, and you are able to use all of our services. So whether that's checking out books or checking out vinyls or checking out some of the cool things
vinyl.
We have, like
just
technology.
Call them record albums. Just call them what they are. Record albums.
Record albums.
Albums.
We also have CDs. No cassettes, unfortunately, but we've got a really extensive collection that we'd love to share with you. So please feel free to come down. You might see me. I'm Joanna. I'm usually
You've
at the desk.
You've helped me before.
I was looking for pictures
of Paul Harvey in front of the WRJN microphone, and you came over, saw me struggling with technology on the checker, and you helped me find him. And I just showed you on my phone. I still have the pictures.
Still got it.
See
that's
what you
great.
Did for me? Yeah.
I'm glad I could be of help.
And you did it with a smile and everything. It's, you know, that's nice. I like that. Now, with taxes, my tax lady's been doing my taxes since 1972. Same lady.
Wow.
I only met her once. I ran into her by accident, but it's all by phone. And I just called her the other day because I got to make sure she's still alive. And so I called her the other day. She's still alive. She goes, Donald, send me a tax. Donald, I'll figure it out. And she gives me the bum's rush on the phone when I ask her questions about my taxes. I say, well, I saw this form. Don't worry about the form. Just sign it, Donald, and you'll be fine. Just send it in. We're good. Is everything okay with your family? I said, yeah, but I have this one question. Don't worry about that. Everything's taken care of. Just so the forms are there. Just sign it, and I email it in and send it electronically. Just we'll take it. She doesn't answer my questions because since 1972, she knows everything about me. And so she's got to be near 90.
How old is she?
I don't know. I don't ask her. Her name is Dolores, and she lives in the same house since 1972 with her husband. And she's a CPA, but she does corporations. But I'm one of her last clients when she did individual taxes. She doesn't do individuals anymore. She does corporations.
Right.
And so she kept me all these years.
Wow.
So think about that. Since 1972, the same lady. And when she goes, I'm not going to know what to do. I can't pay taxes after she goes. I'm just going to have to say, come get me.
You're going to have to come to the library.
No, I wouldn't know what to do. I just send her an envelope full of everything, and I get back, and she keeps me out of prison.
Well, thank you, Dolores.
And she's in her 90s. That is excellent.
I don't know if she's in. I don't know how old she is, but she's got to be older than me. So anyway, one day I get a call from the IRS, and they have a question. And immediately, I'm like Ralph Cramden, I don't know what to say. You don't know who Ralph Cramden is, do you, Joanne?
I don't think
it was the Honeymooners, yeah.
You've been trying to catch me morning, and you did.
Well, it was Ralph Cramden from the Honeymooners. Yeah. Every time he got in trouble, right with that. And I said, I'll call you back. So I called Dolores. She goes, what's their phone number? And she called me back about 20 minutes later. Everything's fine. Wow. She says, they can intimidate you. They won't intimidate me because I used to work for the IRS.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I know everything. Okay. People get scared. I just answered their question. And they said, fine. They were just checking up on something. And, you know, again, that's how they got Al Capone. I want to be in the same cell that Al Capone was in. Isn't it funny how they get a lot of people, a lot of gangsters. They can't get them on murder. They can't get them on they get them on tax evasion. Because there's no way, you know, some of these people, I don't know about John Gotti, but some of these, they say, well, I'm a plumber. There's no way you made millions of dollars as a plumber. So tell us where the income came from. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get them. but we want to keep you out of prison. So go to the public library, Racine Public Library, for tax services, and they'll try to make sure you don't go to prison with taxes. Well, that's great. I got to have both of you back again. I got to find out more, but I love history.
I really have enjoyed myself. It's been fun.
Better than you thought, huh?
Yeah, it's good.
A lot of people think they're coming in for like a 60 minutes interview where at the end, I gotcha. this has been great. And again, on Saturday from noon to 3, we have Judy Collins going to be at the Racine Public Library. Where in the library is that going to be?
It's going to be in the community room in the library, and which is on the
second floor.
Second level.
That's right.
There will be greeters there to greet you with a smile to help and assist you to the exact location. And there are refreshments we need to add.
All right, now we're talking. All right.
There's going to be food afterwards. There is going to be singing and in the library. Ooh, but there's going to be singing and there's going to be a good conversation.
I thought you couldn't talk in the library. Well, you had to whisper in the library.
So our library is actually a mixed library. So we have certain areas where you have to be quiet and you have certain areas where you can have polite levels of conversation.
Yeah, polite levels.
The library. Shh. That's it. Everybody thinks of the library. Shh. Stop talking. You're in the library.
Right. So it's the library is just multifaceted. It's just you make it what you want it to be.
Yeah. We had a jingle here from the 1960s. It's the latest. It's the greatest. It's the library.
Oh,
remember that jingle? Do you remember that song?
Slightly, but.
Yeah. I'll play it for you in a second.
Okay, play it for me.
I'll dig it up for you. All right. Thank you, ladies, for coming in today. Joanna Jackson from Adult Services at the Racine Public Library. Judy Collins, who is a history buff. I won't say you know everything, but you know a lot about the history of Racine and a specialist in genealogy. Thank you, ladies, for coming
in.
Thank you for having us.
We enjoyed
it. It's 8 o'clock on the noggin at WRJN. Stay right where you are. Got news from CBS.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A senior Russian official says talks between Russia and the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have ended, with no date set for a meeting between Vladimir Putin and President Trump, and no word on a possible plan to wind down the war in Ukraine. Correspondent Holly Williams is at the foreign desk.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio sat down with his Russian counterpart this morning. High-speed diplomacy aimed at ending the war in Ukraine. Some say today's meeting is already a victory for Russia, which has been isolated by sanctions and condemnation. Many Ukrainians feel betrayed. Ukraine did not know anything about these talks, said